Rob McLaughlin on City Talk 105.9.
Lovely. It really is. You've got a marvellous voice. And how long have you been in this group?
Don't ask her now, because we're going to do that at 9.30.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's not your show, Hancock. It's not Hancock's half hour.
Oh, right.
It's McLaughlin's half hour, right?
Very good.
Get your own show, Hancock.
Now, shall we talk about the papers?
No, we're not going to talk about the papers. We're not going to talk about the papers, Jim. Get your own programme. Because we are going to go live from the Labour Party conference. We're going to go and join one of Gordon Brown's members of the Cabinet, who I'd like to say is joining us this morning live on the line. Hazel Blees, I apologise for the chaos in the studio, which has been caused by Jim Hancock's presence. But good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Sounds like you're having a brilliant time.
Now, you tell us, more importantly, about your time, because the sunshine is brilliant in Manchester. All those Londoners who've come up think it's always like that in the Northwest now.
Well, they do, because we first brought the Labour Party conference to Manchester 2 years ago, and all these London journalists who'd not been for 10, 15 years just couldn't believe it. They kept saying to me, you know, the regeneration that's gone on, and the GMEX and Beetham Tower and the Lowry Centre. And I said, well, you know, what did you expect? That we'd all have whippets and clogs and, you know. And I actually think that bringing not just the Cabinet, which is really important, obviously, but also bringing all those press people up says, look, in the North, we can do this. You know, we're fantastic people. And I think it just really changes the whole image, not just of Manchester, but of the Northwest as well.
Now, Hazel, just so you know, I have live with me in the studio Jim Hancock, who you know very well. And
indeed,
I have John Walsh OBE with me, who is the chairman of the Conservative Party in the Northwest.
Morning, but Hazel.
Good morning, John. We know each other.
Let's turn to the big issue, because as you know, you will have seen already this morning, Hazel, across the Observer today is a big poll, which is basically saying that the Labour Party is heading for a defeat along the levels that the Conservatives had in 1997. That must be terribly worrying for a lot of your members.
Well, obviously, when you're behind in the polls, it's not a good position to be in, and members are concerned. But equally, if you track the polls on the economy, and I saw some of this recently, you can see that the Labour Party's fortunes virtually identically mirror the way that people feel optimistic about their personal prosperity. So clearly what's going on at the moment with the international turbulence, the housing market, inflation and food prices is really reflecting on the government's popularity. And I defy anybody, whichever party was in government at the moment, they'd be taking it really hard. And, you know, in some ways you expect that. We're in charge, we're the government, people are feeling it, and therefore that reflects on our party. So
do you think you'd do better if you actually came out rather than arguing each particular issue? Wouldn't it be better if you came out and said, well, actually, over the last 10 years, we have got some things wrong? Because your opponents are saying what you've done is you've spent the riches that have been gathered over the last 10 years and there isn't anything left in the pot.
Well, let me just deal with those two things just a bit separately. First of all, I do think that we should recognise that not everything we have done is 100% perfect. I mean, that would be just stupid. For example, I know in my constituency in Salford, we've done some brilliant things. I think things are broadly much better for ordinary families. But also, some things still remain to be done. We've still got pockets where people haven't shared in the kind of prosperity that everybody else has.
You don't actually hear politicians saying that very often, Hazel, I have to say.
Well, you know, I mean, you know me, Rob. I'm direct, I'm to the point, and I say what's on my mind. Now, the second thing here is just to recognise that people are having a hard time, but also what they want is a government that's going to help them through. I was quite struck last week on the Today programme when David Cameron said on the housing market, well, other than the stamp duty, there's nothing we can do, you can't book the market. Now, I think that people don't expect government to change their lives completely, but what they do want is a government that's prepared to take some practical action, like a mortgage rescue package, so you don't get repossessed, you don't find yourself out on the streets. And well, that's what they're looking for.
Let me bring in my guest very quickly, Jim Hancock.
Hazel, if I could, I was yesterday lunchtime, was at the Fabian Society Fringe meeting, which you spoke at, with a rather challenging title, you know, what can Labour do for the white working class? You know, when I saw it in the programme, I thought, ooh, that's a bit edgy, and one or two of the speakers said that. But I found it an absolutely intriguing debate because, you know, as was identified at that meeting, you know, there has been a real problem that you've had with that traditional white working class people feeling that you favour minority groups too much, that you're implying that there's going to be no sort of manual jobs anymore. And it was a fascinating discussion about that. It clearly is a worry for you. I mean, and you know the sort of white working class that you've got in Salford and so on. I mean, what were your conclusions from that meeting? Because it could be quite crucial to whether you can have stage any sort of fight back at all.
Well, I don't know about you, Jim, but I thought the meeting was really good. It was honest. Things were said in a way quite refreshingly, actually, for a whole range of politicians. I think people do acknowledge that in the future, if you're going to compete in a global economy and you're going to compete with India and China, then we've got to make sure that our young people have got the skills to do it. You know, we've got Media City in Salford coming with 15,000 jobs. I want to make sure that the Salford youngsters don't just get the cleaning and catering jobs, that they're getting the technical skills, production, presentation. That is my ambition for them. And what I said at that meeting yesterday is that I think one thing unites people across the classes, to be honest, and that is that people want their kids to get on. They want them to do better than they had a chance to do. They do want them to go to university if that's what they want, or get an apprenticeship, get a decent job. And, you know, I know that we go on education, but again, you know.
But what about the 40 and 50 year olds who feel a bit useless in this sort of modern age? You know, that they don't really want to retrain for high tech jobs and attempted towards the BNP, who have a sort of simplistic sort of racist solution when, you know, their mortgages are going up and they haven't got any money.
Well, I mean, obviously, if you're in your 40s and 50s, what you are looking for is security, and that's why I understand people are concerned now about the jobs. But many of those people in their 40s and 50s are doing a fantastic job. People in looking after elderly people working in the care sector, for example, completely unsung heroes and heroines doing what is not often a pleasant job, usually for fairly low pay, but hugely valuable to us, you know. And maybe we haven't talked enough about how important people are, like plasterers, joiners, plumbers, absolutely, all the people that keep us going. And I think that's a lesson to us as a government. It isn't just about graduates. It isn't just about, you know, the new technology out there. But underneath that, you've got to be preparing for the future, because I'm afraid whatever we want to happen, this world is not standing still.
Hazel, let me very quickly bring in John Walsh.
Yeah, Hazel, the underlying issue of what you say there about making sure that we do create a recognition of those who do wonderful jobs in the caring and building industries and important service jobs of that nature. But when you talk about the 15,000 new jobs at Media City, you've got to recognise that potentially the City of Manchester and Salford, your own constituency, face some pretty massive jobs as a result of the meltdown in the financial institutions and banking industry over the last 10 days. And I do think that the time has come and we've got to start being honest, and government need to acknowledge that there are some fundamental changes taking place in the British economy in that sense.
Let me bring Hazel in quickly.
Just very quickly, financial services, quite interesting. As it gets more expensive to locate in London and in New York, quite a lot of companies are now looking at places like Manchester, Leeds, Liverpool, to have their headquarters. So don't want to profit from a downturn here. But actually, if you are an entrepreneurial region and an entrepreneurial city, there are opportunities for the future to get in here. And I'll be doing everything I can for Manchester, Salford and the rest of the North West.
Now, Hazel, very finally, the Times newspapers, I'm sure you've seen on Friday, pointed out that a lot of the people, the so-called Lancashire Mafia, as the Mail on Sunday called them last week, who are trying to lead this rebellion against Gordon Brown, actually were your supporters when you stood for the deputy leadership, people like George Howarth, Graham Stringer, etc., etc. This sort of kind of implicated you in the plot.
Well, I thought it was just incredible, to be honest. I mean, Graham Stringer's never been a particular fan of mine, neither has Peter Kilfoyle. Lovely people that they are, you know, love Graham, love Peter, but they've never been exactly my politics. So I think, you know, you could probably find connections. What do they call it? 6 degrees of separation means we're all related. And if you're a fanciful journalist and you've got a couple of pages to fill, then I've no doubt you can be very creative, can't you, Jim?
The one last thing I'd say to you is that one of the disappointments that some people say is that the New Labour hasn't created more prominent and credible candidates. One day, I'm not raising the issue about now, but one day to be Prime Minister of this country, and I would say, sparing your blushes, Hazel, that you should seriously consider that sort of, you know, coming forward. I was watching you yesterday,
well, hold on,
there's a pint-sized Barbara Castle.
Well,
do you know what I'm doing in about an hour?
Yeah.
I'm going to name a train at Piccadilly Station after Barbara Castle, my heroine.
Well, you're in her
dream. Very good. And Hazel, just to clear it up, if there was a leadership, would you be standing?
There's not going to be a leadership. We're getting on with our job. Good God. I mean, I've got a really, really big job to do in the Cabinet, trying to make our communities better places to live. I love doing it. I'm making a difference out there. I'm the MP for Salford. That's the most important thing in my life.
Waking you up on Sunday, Rob McLaughlin, City Talk 105.9.